The following is an encore episode of Hour 2 of the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. We hope you enjoy. Welcome back to the Turley Frequency with host Kevin Turley. The phone lines are open, so call now at 888-928-0881. That's 888-928-0881. And share with us your thoughts and prayer intentions as we navigate this complicated world together. And now, your host of the Turley Frequency, Kevin Turley.
Welcome back to the Turley Frequency here live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. And we have the most important part of the show now when we say the Divine Mercy Chaplet. And that's the time when we bring whatever is on our mind, whatever problems we may be experiencing, whatever difficulties, whatever cross we're carrying, we bring them to this prayer. And at least we can pray for each other. That's the very least we can do. And you can be part of this. You can phone in, as I said, on 888-928-0881, or you can text me on 251-928-2111. Only too glad to hear from you and to hear whatever your prayer intention is. We already have a few of them coming in. So let's find out from Mike if we have a prayer partner today. Mike, do we have someone?
Yes, we do. We have Dave Leger back. Welcome back to the Turley Frequency, Dave. Glad you could join us and pray with us this morning.
Great to be back. It's a privilege.
Dave, good to hear your voice again.
Same here, Kevin. You've got quite a...
I remember you from the last time, so I don't need to explain to you how we say the chaplet or how it runs. You're a veteran of this discipline now.
Yes.
Very good. Dave, I hope you brought a whole lot of intentions with you. We'll just hold those for the moment, because I'll just put out one last request to anybody listening. You can text in on 251-928-2111, any prayer requests, and Dave and I will be very happy to pray for you now, whatever that may be. So I tell you what, Dave, if you don't mind, we'll start the chaplet, and then just before we commence the first decade, I'll come to you with whatever your intentions are. How does that sound?
That sounds great.
Okay, let's do that.
Okay.
So let's begin then. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. Then we say together, Dave, three times, O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fount of mercy for us, I trust in you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you very much, Dave. So you have the pleasure of taking this first decade, Dave. So who would you like us to pray for?
There were two policemen who were shot and killed in Bay St. Louis, Mississippi. this week, earlier this week. And the woman who shot them shot herself. So I'd like for us to pray for them and for their families. And she left behind a child. So if for them, again, I'd like to pray for my nephew, Christopher, who's suffering with severe back pains, and it's a congenital thing, but he's suffering a great deal, and there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of solutions on the medical front. Also, I'd like to, for me, I would like to love God more. I love him, but there's a lot more love that I need to have for God. So we can start with those.
I think they're wonderful, Dave. I think they're absolutely wonderful. I mean, first of all, absolutely tragic situation in Mississippi that you've described there.
Yes.
Two police officers shot dead, and the woman herself who shot them kills herself, and who knows what sort of state of mind that poor woman was in. But it's a tragedy for all concerned and for their families, and we'll definitely lift them up now and ask that the comfort of the Sacred Heart of Jesus will be met and known to them.
Mm-hmm.
I remember you praying for Christopher before, I think, with his back, didn't you? Didn't you pray for him before?
Yes.
Is it a long-term critical problem he has with his back? Or
Yes, it is. It's partly congenital, partly from accidents and in life. And he just seems to be suffering. There doesn't seem to be a lot of help for him, although he has some interim procedures that work for him. And so I just would like to pray for him to see if the Lord would be, you know, in his mercy, would help him out.
Absolutely. Will Christopher be listening to this?
I'm not sure. I wasn't able to contact him. He had a procedure yesterday. I don't believe he is, but it doesn't matter. He knows I mentioned that we prayed for him last time and that I would pray again whenever I was on again.
Well, if you're listening on the playback, Christopher, or on the encore presentation tonight, know that Dave has very kindly been praying for you on the show, and we will continue to do so and pray that your back be healed, that whatever the pain is there, that it will cease, and that through the divine mercy, you will be given the grace of a new back, and a new back for the rest of your life. And Dave, that's to love God more. I think that's a prayer for everybody, right? That's a prayer for you, for me, for everybody that's listening. Everybody is taking part in this. We all want to love God more. And I think it's a wonderful prayer. And I think it's a prayer that will always get answered. God will always give you that answer to that prayer, to love him more. So I think that's the first decade sorted out, Dave. Shall we begin?
Yes.
Okay. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Dave, for that. Now, I have had a text in from a listener. It's anonymous, but I will read out more or less what they have said because it's quite important. Thank you for praying in the last Friday's Chaplet of Divine Mercy. That's our pleasure. Don't worry about that. The texter goes on to say, I will begin cancer treatment in the coming weeks. This morning I have a scan on my brain. Please pray for me that it reveals the cancer has not spread to my brain. And then they go on to say, and that my hamster is still on the wheel. I like that, Dave. My hamster is still on the wheel. And then it finishes, God bless all the intention in today's chaplet, you and you all at Archangel Radio. So it's an anonymous text in, but we are delighted to pray for you this morning, and we will definitely pray that that scan shows, puts some peace into your heart, knowing that the cancer has not spread to your brain. I don't know about you, Dave. I think that's a pretty important intention for this second decade. That's enough almost. What do you reckon?
Yes. Let's go with
okay.
that.
Let's do that. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Dave. Now, yesterday I was contacted by a listener who works in a hospital, and she's concerned. I'll just read out what she wrote to me because it's quite upsetting. That some of the people in the hospital, it's a Catholic hospital that she works in. It's not in Alabama, I have to say. But because of the way things are organized, the priority isn't being given for people who are near to death to get the last sacraments. Mm. And this is disturbing her somewhat. So I know who this person is. I know which hospital it is. As I say, it's not in Alabama. But she would like us to pray for the staff there, for the chaplains, for everybody involved, that anybody who is close to death or even just in a state of illness of some sort or another, that they can be given the last sacraments. I mean, that's something which everybody needs at that final moment.
Yes.
It's quite shocking, that, Dave, isn't it?
It is, because when you're at that stage, or I think of myself, I sure yearn for that to happen.
Yeah, I do too.
I pray for that all the time, that the Lord will allow that to be there for me at death. Final perseverance.
Yes, it's a good prayer, and a prayer that sometimes people don't remember, that we are to pray for the gift of perseverance, and in particular final perseverance, that nothing is not over till it's over, as they say, and no more so than in spiritual life. It's easy to go astray at any time in our lives.
Yes.
So let's pray that prayer for everybody listening, that we'll be given the grace of final perseverance. But let's pray for this hospital, and let's pray for this woman, this good, faithful Catholic woman working in this hospital, that through her good offices and through her prayers and through our prayers also, that we may ensure that those that are dying close to death or just suffering will be given the consolation of the last sacraments. Okay. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world.
for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Dave. Now, while we were praying, we've had a text in from Kay, and hello to you, Kay. I know you texted the show this week, and we're very grateful for your constant texts because they're always about other people. That's what I noticed. So we're going to pray for you, Kay, but we're also going to pray for your dear friend, Mark Jones, who's having a CT scan this afternoon. And you say that Mark is a good Catholic and believes in the power of prayer. So we are going to take him at his word and take our Lord at his word and place Mark now in the caring hands of our blessed Lord this afternoon with his CT scan. And please God, it'll work out for Mark. And thank you very much, Kay, for bringing that to our attention. Shall we just pray for Mark then?
Yes.
Dave?
Sure.
Let's do that. Let's pray for Mark. Mark, if you're listening, this whole decade is for you for this afternoon. Hopefully you'll have your scan at 3 p.m. That would be nice, wouldn't it? And it comes back all clear at about 5 past, 10 past, whenever they come back. During the hour of great mercy, that you'll get some nice, good news. Okay. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Thank you very much, Dave. So, believe it or not, we're coming to the final decade. Is there anybody else, Dave, that you would like us to pray for today?
Let's see. We have a friend who's had cataract surgery. If we could pray for her speedy recovery, successful.
Yep.
And then also, we have one of our rosary-making ladies had to go into the hospital for a procedure, and pray for a speedy recovery for her.
Well, what are the names of these two people?
One is the one with the cataract surgery is Lynn.
Yep.
And the lady who was in for a cyst was Sherry.
Sherry. Okay.
We'll pray for Lynn and Sherry. And yes. And yes. Okay.
Anybody else? Go on.
No, that's it. I was just thinking healing for also healing for others who are in pain.
Yeah, that's good. Mike, what about you? It's your last day today before you go on your break. Is there anybody? Obviously, we pray for you and your family over the Christmas period. You have a wonderful Christmas. But is there anybody in particular you want to pray for during this coming holiday period?
Yes, I'd like to pray again for Reed, who will be taking over for me, and a special prayer intention for Rip Repol, who will be my former assistant come next mm-hmm. Friday. He is moving on to continue his education at one of the colleges here, about a couple hours away from us in Montgomery, and so I wanted to pray for him that God will guide him in his next steps and his next journey in life. He's been a great assistant, and I'm very very thankful for him. Very thankful for Reed and the great job he's doing. And so I just. So, that's exactly what I'll pray for.
Wonderful. So, Rip and Reed.
Rip and Reed, R&R. R&R.
R&R. That's easy to remember. Rip and read. One's going in, one's coming out. So we'll pray for
right,
them both.
Right.
And we'll pray for everybody at Archangel. Mm-hmm. Everybody involved in Archangel Radio, in the apostolate of Archangel Radio, and everybody that's listening, you out there listening, of course you're included in this, but anybody who's a donor, anybody who's on the board, anybody who's promoted Archangel in any way, any shape or form, we're going to pray this decade for you now as well. Last night I was sent a text. There's a woman by the name of Leslie who's recently been diagnosed with a serious aneurysm in the brain. And this is something which is very, very serious, and prayers have been asked for her. She's a woman of great faith, and a woman who, maybe because she's got great faith, shows no signs of worry or self-pity about this, whereas everybody around her is very, very concerned by it. So we'll lift Leslie up to the Lord in this decade as well. So Rip, Reed, everybody at Archangel, we'll pray for Mike and his family have a wonderful, restful time in the coming weeks. And we'll pray for Leslie in this at this time with the aneurysm. And then also Lynn and Sherry and the various problems that they're having, health issues. And then, as Dave says, we'll pray for healing for anybody listening, anybody who's in need of healing. And it can be physical healing, can be spiritual healing, can be emotional healing. It can be difficulties in people's lives, especially at this time of year between family members and that sort of thing. The devil is never idle, even at Christmas. Mm-hmm. So we lift them all up, and sure in the knowledge that this is a very effective prayer, very important way of communicating our intercessory desires to the Lord. So shall we say this final decade, Dave?
Yes.
Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And then we conclude saying three times, Holy God,
Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal
One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God,
Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal
One,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God,
Holy Mighty One,
Holy Immortal One,
have mercy on us
and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O my Jesus, I trust in thee. O my Jesus, I trust in thee. O my Jesus, I trust in thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dave, thank you so much for coming in.
You're welcome, Kevin. Thank you very much for all that you do.
No, and I hope you will come back again at some future date. I hope this is going to be a regular port in a storm for you, Dave.
Sure. I would appreciate that. Yes, I enjoy it, and it's certainly a lot to pray for myself and for others.
I don't know about you, Dave. In my life, there's never a short list for prayers, intentions. Do you know what I mean?
No, I know exactly what you mean. I didn't want to bring in too many and overwhelm the prayer time. But anyway, I was trying to become more focused. But there are
There's no right or wrong in this, Dave. You just come in with whatever you want. But it'd be a pleasure to have you come in on a regular basis and pray and spread the word. You know, people will say, there's Dave, there's the man who's on the radio praying, and they'll load you up. They'll fill your saddlebags full of prayer intentions. And that's exactly what we want. So I'm really grateful to you and love to have you come back again, maybe before Christmas. Who knows?
Sure. I'll check with Mike and see what the schedule is for next week. And see if there's an opening and get back here.
That's wonderful.
All right. Okay.
Okay, Dave. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Now, when we come back, as I said at the start, I'm going to tell you a story about somebody who escaped from the world of darkness. And when I mean darkness, I'm talking about the occult and all of that sort of stuff. So this is a story which is very interesting, but it may not be suitable for everybody. So I just put that warning out there in case you're concerned. All right. But we will have story time coming up next here on the Turley Frequency, live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. So, stay with me. Oh, come let your waters flood over me. Hello and welcome back to the Turley Frequency here live and exclusive on Archangel Radio. And we are coming to the final segment of the show when we go story times. All of these stories are true. They are real stories about real people, and they're often stories about the faith and about how people are coming to terms with the faith or coming into the faith. You heard yesterday about my friend who, after that wonderful occasion in Hyde Park in the center of London, moved from a position of strange indifference to Catholicism to becoming absolutely fervent and knocking the door down of the presbytery the next day or so, demanding to become a Catholic after she had witnessed Pope Benedict raise the monstrance with the sacred species high over a London skyline. Well, today it's a story which is equally as dramatic in some ways, but a bit shocking as well. So, as I said, I've said it a couple of times in the show, just to give a little bit of warning. If you've got young children, or if St. Dominic's grade three or whatever it is listening, this may not be suitable for you. Okay, there's nothing too explicit in it, but it's just a story about something which is strange, which is the occult, something which is often portrayed as harmless around Halloween time and such like, but we know that there's a darkness to it which is taking souls away from Christ. So this story begins in 2011 at an Easter vigil in a simple parish church in New York State. I'm going to be rather vague about certain localities and certain names for reasons I will go into as we go on. Well, I'll tell you now. The person who told me this story said that once he escaped from this world of the occult, he saw how that world continued to try and pursue those people who escaped from it. So that's why maybe online you get very few testimonies from people who have escaped from the occult, because they're often living in fear of their lives or their loved ones' lives. Now, you might think that's a bit over the top, a bit dramatic. Well, I remember about 30-odd years ago meeting somebody who was in a pretty bad way. He was obviously an intelligent man, but he was running from something. He wouldn't tell me what it was initially, but he was somebody who was doing his job and all the rest of it, but he was seeking solace in alcohol. And then one day he just opened up and said what the problem was, and I was really shocked. He had been part of a witch's coven, and he had exited from it and effectively was still living with the trauma of what he had experienced in that. So when I looked at him and saw how shaken and disturbed he was, I could tell that this was not the stuff of Hollywood films or Halloween costumes. This was stuff that needed to be taken seriously. So the person who told me this story had the same view. His view was that he didn't mind the story being relayed, but he didn't want too many facts that could be brought back to him. So I'm not going to mention his name, because he knew the people involved, and he knew also of the threat they posed to him and to his family. So it was 2011, it was an Easter vigil, a simple parish church in upstate New York, and a number of souls were being received into the Catholic Church that year, as it does every year. And if any of you have been to the Easter vigil, you know that's the moment when a lot of people are received into the church, and it's a wonderful moment. And the Easter vigil, as you know, is a ceremony which starts in great darkness, and then the paschal flame is lit, and then slowly, slowly the church is illuminated, and the Old and New Testament readings are read, and finally the triumph of the resurrection is proclaimed, reminding all present that the long reign of sin and death has finally ended. And if any of you have been to the Easter Vigil, you know that that's the night that most adult Catholics recite once again their baptismal promises. Now, most of you listening, me as well, I don't remember taking my baptismal promises because they were taken on my behalf, right? I was an infant when I was baptized. So it was my parents, my godparents, who undertook to bring me up as a Catholic, to make sure the faith was passed on. They also, on my behalf, accepted the truths of the Catholic faith. And for that, I am eternally grateful. And that's just not a turn of phrase, eternally grateful that somebody deemed it worthy to baptize me, to get me baptized. But you'll also probably know that in those baptismal promises, which we as a congregation recite if there's an infant baptism or, as I say, at the Easter Vigil, one of the things that's made explicit and one of the first things you do is you reject Satan and all his works and all his empty promises. Now, it's fitting and right that we should do so. And it was fitting and right that on that night in 2011 in that church in New York State that people were doing it. But for one person in that congregation that night, that initial rejection of Satan, all his works and all his empty promises had an even greater significance for him than for anybody else present that night. You see, previously, the man who I shall call Bob had been part of a witch's coven. And for many years he had practiced its blasphemous rites and seen things that he told me could only have come from hell itself. And how did he know that? Because he said to me, I summoned them from there. Now, the man I'm calling Bob wasn't always a Satanist. That goes without saying, right? Most people are not born into that particular religious denomination. In fact, he was born in the 1950s into a New York Jewish family. And although his family were not overtly religious, he wasn't brought up strictly, but he did attend the local synagogue and the local Hebrew school, and he made his bar mitzvah, as Jewish boys in the 1950s and 60s probably did. However, by teenage years, a bit like a lot of the Catholics that we pray for in the Divine Mercy Chaplet, or some of the Catholics, he had left his religion behind. He wasn't interested in religion. And instead, he was drifting around. It was that time probably in the 1970s when things were much looser in terms of belief. There wasn't the same pressure to have either a Christian or a Jewish belief of some sort. So he started to drift towards other things. Now, one of the things that we have to be aware of as Catholics is, do you remember I said the other day, St. Thomas More said that we don't go to heaven on our own. We can go to hell on our own, but we go to heaven with other people. We take other people with us. And one of the things that we notice about saints is that they often come in clusters, right? So just the other day, we celebrated the feast of John of the Cross, St. John of the Cross. And he was a great friend of St. Teresa of Avila. And there were some other saintly Carmelites that they knew. And it was this cluster of wonderful mystics that all knew each other and helped each other along the way. Well, just as we can help each other along the way, we can also drag each other away from the proper way, onto strange ways and strange avenues that we should never go on. And it was Bob's misfortune that a friend of his had a cousin who ran an occult bookshop. And this friend said to Bob, "Why don't you come with me and have a look at this shop?" And the curiosity of a young man, he went along and he entered the shop. But he just didn't encounter the books. He encountered the people who worked there and the people who went there with a very serious intent. Because he said that the men who ran that bookshop, were practicing witches. And very soon they were beginning to induct Bob into Wicca. Now, I know you're going to ask me, what is Wicca? Well, Wicca is a name, a fancy name, if you like, which was only invented in the 1930s. But it's a modern name, really, for the ancient craft of witchcraft. That's all you need to know about it. And it's the thing you'll know about the occult and Wicca and witchcraft and all its various forms is that it's kind of a pseudo-intellectual creed. It dresses up things in the paraphernalia of religion when they're simply the things of the evil one. And it is my contention, and certainly the contention of the church, that witchcraft, Wicca, whatever name it goes by, is something that we not only need to leave alone and avoid, but also we need to guard against in all its manifestations. The most common today, of course, is in the New Age movement, but we'll talk about that another day. So Wicca pretends to be magic of a sort that harms no one. That's the first lie. Now, looking back, Bob was able to see that at the very least, Wicca and his encounter with it was harming him. And today he was able to see that it opened a channel to another, deeper, more dangerous encounter with evil. And we'll see where that develops in a moment. So, on one level, Bob's life then continued as normal. And by the late 70s, he joined the Air Force, the U.S. Air Force, and was very good at what he did and was posted to different parts of the United States and overseas and all the rest of it. So there was this superficial level where he was a serviceman of good standing serving his country. On another level, however, his life was anything but normal. Now he said, and these are his words, not mine, that in the different postings with the military, he would be connected to occult groups that were present wherever he was stationed. There seemed to be a sort of secret network of these people that, a bit like anything, once you're on the inside, once you're on the know, you start seeing people who are also on the inside. His words were that such covens were widespread. Now, if that was true back then, I fear it could be equally true today. But I have no knowledge of that. I'm just going on what I've been told. Now, one encounter during this period proved a little bit too much for Bob. He was out in California, and he was introduced to somebody who was a very sinister figure. Even he reckoned this person was a sinister figure. He carried a leather briefcase. Remember him telling me this, a leather briefcase with the pentagram stamped upon it. The pentagram is a symbol of the devil. Bad symbol. And this man was very much an active Satanist. And he invited Bob to his first Black Mass. Now, the Black Mass, we don't need to go into details at this time in the morning, but it's a blasphemous inversion of the Holy Mass. And what purpose it serves, I don't know. It's more a mockery. The devil's good at mockery. And it was a kind of a mockery of the Holy Mass, the sacrifice of our Lord, which is made truly present at Calvary, is once again reenacted in the Holy Mass. And this, so Bob went along to this more out of curiosity than anything, and it left him traumatized. He'd never seen or experienced anything like it, despite all the Wicca ceremonies that he'd been to. Now, he said something to me which really shocked me. He said that what he did remember, and he wasn't a Catholic at the time, what he did remember was that the chief celebrant, so to speak, of this blasphemy was a defrocked Catholic priest. Now, he was frightened of what was taking place before his eyes at this ceremony, but he was also very, very conscious of almost like a power, an invisible power that was holding him there and preventing him from leaving it. And I remember him reflecting on that because it really shocked him, the sort of force, the real supernatural force of this, that he was encountering something which had a real power, however distorted. Anyway, to cut a long story short, by the 1980s, Bob had returned to civilian life. He was discharged honorably and came back into life, but he continued to practice his pagan ways. And the problem with a lot of this is that people can get sort of very into this, and he did, and he became a kind of high priest in his coven, these witches, in the northeast of the United States. And that's the way it would have remained. He would have been a witch for all his life, had something unexpected not happened in the winter of 1982. A person came into the occult bookshop where Bob was, and they had a curious, if not downright unusual, request. The man came in and wanted a book about various rituals and invocations that could conjure up a certain demon. And this is going to sound crazy, I'm just repeating what I heard. And then Bob was intrigued by this, and the two men got to talking, and out of curiosity again, this is a problem for Bob agreed to become involved in this ritual. And what Bob told me about that ritual comes straight out of Hollywood, right? I don't know if I can tell you, but it was the conjuring up of something. And what they conjured up terrified Bob. Terrified him in a way that nothing else in all that he had encountered in all his dabblings in the occult could even have prepared him for. But there was both a horrible conjuring of something, but there was also something which really shocked him. And that was that what was conjured up to his eyes was the most beautiful woman he had ever seen. And it had this creature, who's pretending to be a woman, had the most incredible beauty that totally captivated Bob. And Bob knew somehow that this woman, alleged woman, wished him harm. And he said before his eyes, the beauty of this figure changed into the most hideous form, the most hideous shape. And its truth was revealed. And it was the most horrible thing, he said, he had ever set eyes on. The room that these men were in with this conjuring, playing around with this thing, suddenly the walls, it seemed to Bob, began to melt. And there was this terrible stench which he later said was a sulfuric smell, like hell, right? The smell of burning. And he said to me that after that experience, he knew that hell existed because he had seen it, he'd glimpsed it. Now, the reaction on seeing this shape for Bob was absolute paralyzing fear. He'd never been as frightened ever in his life. And to cut a very long story short of what happened in that night, the incident ended. I won't go into all the details, but the man who he was with in this ritual ended up in a hospital. Police arrived, ambulance had to take him away. He was in such a terrible state. And according to Bob, that man was for a very long time in a psychiatric institution. And he was to die there some years later. This completely freaked Bob out. He had seen too much now, and he wanted out. He had last sensed the danger that he was in, right? He had come face to face with something that was beyond his comprehension, beyond his understanding, and he knew he was in danger. So the next day, he told the other members of the coven that he still belonged to that he wanted out. He didn't want anything more to do with this. And what was their reaction? They began to threaten him. You see, no one is going anywhere, they said. No one leaves, not of their own will. But Bob was in such a state, he said, I've got to get out of here. I've got to go. And then he told me this story where he immediately walked out of this coven meeting and got into his car in the parking lot. And as he was sitting there, he was turning the ignition and a car wouldn't start. And suddenly out of the building, he saw the witches coming for him. And in the rear view mirror, he could see that they had spotted his car and they were heading towards him. And he said that he thought that they were casting some sort of spell over him. That's what he said. And the next moment, all he remembers is that all the windows in his car blew out. He said it was like a Hollywood film. He couldn't believe it. And he kept turning the ignition and the car wouldn't start. And then suddenly it started. And he said he just put the foot down, sped off into the night, never looked back. He was terrified. Now, the next day he took his car to the repair shop to get it fixed, to get the windows fixed in. And it was interesting what the man said, who was fixing it. He said that it was a good job. And Bob said, what do you mean it's a good job? And the man nurse explained to him that the glass had broken in a certain way, that it had shattered in a way it shouldn't have done and protected him. He should have been covered in glass, broken and cut. It wasn't. And to this day, Bob suggests that it was his guardian angel that spared him that time. Now, we're running a little short on time, so I'm going to have to speed up a little bit on this. So, to cut a long story short, Bob knew the power of the supernatural. He knew the power of evil. So what did he do? He went to a Christian church and he begged them to take him in. It was a Baptist church. And he went to with a work colleague who he had mocked and made fun of being a Christian. And now he was begging this work colleague to take him to church because he wanted to accept our Lord as his Lord and Savior. Because he said that after that night and what he saw and what he witnessed, he knew he needed a Savior. And perhaps more importantly, he knew from what he was being saved. Now, the story doesn't end there because the years that followed were difficult for Bob. You can imagine that his years dabbling in this occult were very difficult. So he got married, but his marriage broke down, and then he suffered from depression. And then his church attendance started becoming sporadic. He was attending on an irregular basis. And he found that he didn't really have a firm intellectual or even spiritual adherence to any of the Protestant groupings that he was attending. He was going around different churches, trying out different things. But there was one thing that intrigued him about some of these groups, these Protestant groups that he was attending. And that was the constant theme running that they were all slightly in fear of Catholicism. Yeah, can you believe it? Now, he would say that this fear was often dressed up in polemics or arguments against the church or negative comments about the church. But he knew that they were getting at the Catholic Church. He knew that. He knew enough to know that. Now, paradoxically, these polemics had the opposite effect on Bob, right? The more he heard about how awful the Catholic Church was and how he had to fear it and how it was this and that and that, and he knew it was none of that because he had been dealing with the real stuff, the real Antichrist. So Bob began to read books by authors such as Scott Hahn, Patrick Madrid, other Catholic apologists, which I'm sure you all know. And there's lots of good Catholic apologetics out there. And the more that Bob read, the more a shape formed in his consciousness. But it was a shape wholly unlike that hideous figure of that dreadful night many years previously. Do you remember that figure of the allegedly beautiful woman that morphed into that hideous creature? Well, his mind now, Bob's mind, was beginning to form with a different sort of image, and it was this. It was a beauty that was different, beauty that was true. It was the bride of Christ, his church, the Catholic Church. So Bob then started to inquire about becoming a Catholic. And at the Easter Vigil in 2011, that's precisely what happened. Bob was received into the church. And the church that he was received at is dedicated to Our Lady, which he thought was very, very appropriate. Because if anybody's read the what's known as the Proto-Evangelium, which is that part of Genesis just after the fall, where there's talk of one who will come who will crush the head of the serpent. Remember? Well, there's different interpretations of that. It could be a reference to our Lord, but also some church fathers have said it's a reference to Our Lady. So it seems very appropriate that that's the church where Bob would be able to attend Holy Mass for the first time as a Catholic, instead of the counterfeit he had witnessed in the past. And having gone to confession and been fully received into the church, he was able to receive that night for the first time his Lord and Savior in Holy Communion. And with it, he said, there came a peace and a joy that cast out all fear. So Bob, when he was making those baptismal promises, and he was accepting the truths of the faith, when it came to rejecting Satan and all his works and all his empty promises, Bob was saying those words very, very intently. I hope this hasn't in any way disturbed anybody, because I think it has a happy ending, right? I think it's a story that was also a warning, and it's a warning for young people. And the warning is this: be careful who you associate with, be careful what their interests are, but also be very, very careful about getting into anything to do with the occult. And that can be books, films, Ouija boards, spells, incantations. We've been talking about magic in this show. Magic doesn't exist. There's only grace. So if magic doesn't exist, what is it? There is a power out there. Evil has its own ways, but it's not the magic that some of you might think. So be careful. So that's our story time today here on the Turley Frequency. Well, that's it for today here on the Turley Frequency. It's been my great pleasure to be with you, and you have been subjected to the Turley Frequency just one more time. I hope you enjoyed it, though. If you did, let's do it all again. Same time, same place next week. Same frequency and same Turley. So, until then, stay tuned to the only station broadcasting from the Bay of the Holy Spirit. And until we meet again, may God bless you and keep you.